I want to talk today a little bit about how easy we have things, spiritual things. I want to call my sermon, "We Have It So Easy," because we have it easy in this day and age compared to back in Moses' day. Back then they had to get a ram, take it to the priest, and have it sacrificed on the altar for atonement for their sins. And we don't have to do that today. I want to look at Leviticus chapter 6, kind of go over a little bit of how this went back then. I'm going to start with the first verse. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor, and that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all of these that a man doeth, sinning therein. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away. Or the things which he has deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. Or all that which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering." So they didn't just have to give back and ask forgiveness. They had to give a fifth more to cover this. "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein." I would imagine it'd probably be pretty hard to find a ram without blemish. I don't think that was no easy task at that time anyways. But I'm going to read, I'm going to go to Exodus, because this just covers a little bit of some of the stuff they had to suffer, but Exodus will give us a little bit more. I'm going to go to, 21st chapter. I'm going to start with the 12th verse. Says, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar, that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then he that smote him be quit only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. Here we see how hard it was in those days. Some sins you were just put to death for. Adultery, for example, something that's pretty rampant today, you would be put to death for back then. So we got it so easy that today we can decide, do we want to keep God's commandments, or are we going to live like the world, or as Satan would have us to live? That's a decision we can make, and seemingly without no consequences, because we're not punished immediately. But I assure you, there definitely is consequences to sin. For example, Abraham let his wife convince him to have a son with her maidservant. We're still seeing the consequences of that today. You know, it's still a problem. We have this choice because Christ died for us on the cross. He died for our sins that we might have salvation. He was the last blood sacrifice. Do we realize what a great blessing this is? I mean, do we really realize it? Because a lot of people just take it for granted, you know. Well, he died for us, our sins are, you know, no big deal. But that's a wonderful blessing that we can kneel down anytime we want and pray to God and ask forgiveness of our sins. We can ask for medical problems. We can ask for any problems we have. And he'll hear us. Now, we might not get the answer that we want exactly, and he might not answer us in our time schedule. It'll be on his time frame. But we will be answered, and he will hear our voice. And the only sacrifice that we have to give is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Much simpler than taking a ram to the priest to have him sacrifice it. But it's so easy that a lot of people don't believe they're going to be punished. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't have time for that right now, but when I get old, I'll look to the Lord. You know, we don't know if we'll be alive in 5 minutes, much less if we're going to make it to old age. Well, some of us are already there, but a lot of people won't make it to old age. Then there's others who think all I have to do is get baptized and say I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and they're going to go to heaven no matter what they do. No matter what sins they commit, they're still going to make it to heaven. But my Bible doesn't say that. It says, he who keeps my commandments and endures to the end, he's the one that'll make it into heaven. I had some people, I've used this several times, but the first time I used it, it's been a little while back. Had a group of these people who thought you were saved just because you said, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I worked and worked and was getting a little frustrated with them. I couldn't get them to understand. And a thought was placed in my head. And the thought was, I have a lover, and I'm going to ask my wife to forgive me. Now, I'm not going to give up my lover, but I'm going to ask my wife to forgive me. But I'm going to keep her. How many of you think she's going to forgive me? And these people were pretty appalled at the fact that I had a lover. But I made it clear, you know, I don't really have one. This is an example that I'm giving, that if her being my wife won't forgive me of this, why would we think that Christ, who is holy, would forgive us if we say, okay, forgive me of my sins, but I'm going to just keep on sinning? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And some of these people actually understood what I was saying. And I think I got through to several people with this message. There's a lot of people who say, well, I can sin and then just ask forgiveness and I'll be forgiven. But you know, if that's our mindset, we're not truly repented. And of course, if we're not truly repented, Christ ain't going to forgive us. So that's kind of out the window too. And the one that I hear the most probably is, oh well, we're all sinners anyway. And that may well be true. But I would ask, when we come before the throne and our sins are placed before us, will we say to God, oh well, Lord, we're all sinners anyway? Does anybody think he's going to say, okay, it's all right, come on in? I don't. I think he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I don't know you. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. And when I read that passage, a thought came to my mind of back when I was a child. And we were down in Mexico in a place called Cuernavaca. And it was a small town, I don't know, probably 2,500 people maybe. And there was a Catholic church probably a quarter of a mile down the road from where we set up camp. And in the afternoon, my dad and my grandfather had been talking to this man about the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And so they gave him one of each, and he took it to the priest. And now, I don't know about here, but down there, you didn't read any scriptures without asking the priest permission. That's just, you just didn't do it. And of course, they didn't give permission. So when he took it to the priest, this priest took and started ripping the pages out of the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and he was throwing them in the fire. And he told this man, he said, every page that I rip out, a demon jumps out of. And he continued till they were done, and the man was there with him. And then they walked out of the church, the priest stepped into the street, and a truck ran over him that very day, just immediately. To me, he mocked God and God punished him. That's also what this man felt. Now, I was just a kid when this happened, but this man had that feeling. So he come back and he asked for another Bible and another Book of Mormon. And he said, I think the priest lied to me and God punished him. And I believe that's correct. There are many famous people who have mocked God. And somebody handed me this paper and asked me if I would read it. It's got a few of those people. If you guys don't mind, I'd read it. I'd like to read it, just a few pieces from it. Here's one that says, John Lennon, singer. Some years before, during his interview with an American magazine, he said, Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain. Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today, we are more famous than he was. Of course, we know what happened to John Lennon. He's gone already. Jesus is still with us. The president of Brazil, Tancredo Neves, during his re-election campaign said, if I get 500,000 votes during the presidential campaign, not even God can keep me from my presidency. And he did get all 500,000 votes. The day before he was inaugurated, he got sick and died. I kind of think God punished him too real quick. Here's another one. It says, a gay Brazilian composer, singer, and poet, during a show in Canecio, Rio de Janeiro, while smoking his cigarette, he puffed out some smoke into the air and said, God, that's for you. He died of AIDS in a horrible manner. It doesn't say how long later he died, but let's see. Got a couple more here on this other page I'd like to read. There was a group of kids that were going to go to a party, and a mother accompanied her daughter down to the car. And when she got in the car, the daughter got in the car, the mother noticed that the kids were drunk. And she said, my daughter, go with God and may he protect you. And the daughter replied, only if God can travel in the trunk because the car is already full. A few hours later, the news came that there was a fatal accident. Everyone had died. The car was mangled beyond recognition except for the trunk. And the trunk, when opened, had a crate of eggs, and not even one egg was broken in that trunk. Sounds like maybe she should have rode back there with him. I got one more here that I'll read, that then I'll just let it go. But Bon Scott says, an ex-vocalist for a group called AC/DC, in 79 he sang a song, Don't Stop Me, I'm Going Down All the Way Down the Highway to Hell. And in February of 80, he was found dead, choked on his own vomit. Maybe he found that highway to hell that he was looking for. There's a lot more here, but the point I'm trying to make is you can't mock God and get away with it. You just can't. He's going to get you soon. You know, he may give you a little more time than others, but you will pay for your sins. I want to look in the Book of Mormon now. Second chapter of Mosiah, verse 11. Okay. It says, I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. There is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourself before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. So this doesn't tell us that we can just say, forgive me of my sins, I accept you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. It says you must forsake your sins. You've got to get rid of them. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering toward you unworthy creatures. And humble yourself even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which is spoken of by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, Ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. So here we see what he requires of us to receive salvation, and it shows us that we must keep his commandments to the very end. I want to go to the 16th chapter of Alma now. I'm going to start with verse 227. It says, "Yeah, and I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yeah, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell." So we see here that Satan will own us if we live in the world. And that also rules out the possibility that we can just say, "Well, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and we're going to be saved." I want to turn to the 22nd chapter of Revelations. I don't remember. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." I'm hoping that none of us will be any of those who are left out. I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Come on. Give me a minute, please. Looks like it's going to take me long. Okay. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." We must live in fear of sinning against God. We must dedicate our life to God, because this is the time for us to prepare ourselves for everlasting life with our Savior. We can see here that Christ is our example and that we should be like unto him. We should live like him. I hope we seek out the Lord with great and sincere effort, and that we not live worldly, that we not be dressing, talking, or acting like the world, that we might not be going to casinos, dance halls, or bars, places that the world would attend, but instead that we would spend our time seeking the Lord and trying to do his will. Because we only got a short time here. Even if we live 100 years, it's only a short time compared to millions and millions of years of eternity. I don't know how you could say, some people say, well, I want to enjoy myself while I'm young and while I'm here. Well, this joy ain't a lasting joy, and it's not really a real joy. It's just a false happiness that we have from small things. But sooner or later, we got to answer for all this stuff that we've done. And I hope that what we've done is in line with what Christ wants us to do. I thank you, and God bless.